The following is a recording for Carlin Garcia Macalini from Credit Corp on Friday, May 6, 2016 at 9:30 a.m. Central. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fernando Dasso. Sir, please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to Credit Corp's conference call on our earnings results for the first quarter of 2016. Before we review Credit Corp's performance in the first quarter, I would like to take a few minutes to review the Peruvian macroeconomic environment, which is more optimistic than the scenario we discussed in our last conference call. Over the last 9 to 12 months, we have lived with uncertainty regarding the potential negative effects of three clouds, as we call them, which were, first, a negative international environment due to a potential rapid increase in the Fed interest rate, a drop in commodity prices, and a strong slowdown in China. Second, a severe El Niño phenomenon, which has the potential to generate significant problems mainly in our banking business, and third, the uncertainty and volatility due to the presidential elections in Peru. Those three clouds have started to dissipate. First, the Fed has taken a more dovish posture, commodity prices have somewhat stabilized, and emerging market currencies have appreciated. Second, El Niño phenomenon was moderate and generated no material impact. And third, the outcome of the first round in the Peruvian presidential elections eliminated the uncertainty and volatility that we experienced prior to March. After a first round, business and consumer confidence has recovered. The second round presidential elections will be held on June the 5th between two pro-market-oriented candidates, Mrs. Keiko Fujimori and Mr. Pedro Pablo Kuczynski. In this context, we have reviewed our estimates for the most important macroeconomic indicators, which you can see in the table on this page. The new estimates reflect the fact that the local market is more optimistic. This is evident in the business and consumer confidence indexes, which should materialize in a more dynamic economic environment for the different business segments in which we operate. Finally, it is important to point out that in mid-April, the IMF reduced its growth forecast for this year in the main Latin American economies, Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, and Chile. On the other hand, the IMF increased its growth forecast for 2016 in Peru, which was the only economy where an upgrade was made. Next page, please. Credit Corp reported net income of $795 million in the first quarter of this year, which represented an ROE and an ROA of 19.4% and 2.0% respectively. After extracting the translation loss of $26.7 million, the result showed net recurring income of $823.3 million. This represented growth of 7% quarter over quarter and 18.3% year-over-year, and recurring ROE and ROA of 20.2% and 2.1% respectively. Although our results are satisfactory overall, they show the impact of the context we described in the previous page, in which we decided to reduce the pace at which we were expanding our high-margin loan books to focus on better risk quality and defend margin after provisions, and therefore profitability. The main drivers of Credit Corp's results were, first, quarter-end loan balances expanded 1.3% Q-over-Q and 12.1% year-over-year, as expected. After excluding the effects of the depreciation of the U.S. dollar Q-over-Q and the appreciation year-over-year, loan growth turned into a rate of 2.3% Q-over-Q and 9.2% year-over-year. Second, the reduction of 9.8% Q-over-Q and 9.7% year-over-year in net provisions for loan losses. This led to a cost of risk of 1.98%, which was 25 bps below fourth quarter's cost of risk and 48 bps below that of the first quarter of last year. In the first quarter of this year, cost of risk represents the lowest level we have seen in the first quarter of 2013, when it reached 1.75%. Third, a slight contraction of 1.5% Q-over-Q in net interest income, but growth of 9% year-over-year, which was offset by the reduction in provisions for loan losses. This result was reflected in the contraction of 22 bps Q-over-Q and 40 bps year-over-year in NIM, while NIM after provisions dropped only 5 bps Q-over-Q and 3 bps year-over-year. Fourth, the efficiency ratio continued showing the improvement in BCP standalone. As a result, Credicorp efficiency ratio dropped 220 basis points Q-over-Q. Nevertheless, the ratio increased 40 basis points year-over-year because of some deterioration in the efficiency of other subsidiaries of credit. Next slide, please. Let's review our main financial figures. On this page, you can see the evolution of the loan book in average daily balances, which is an important driver of our NIM, and most importantly, of our NIM after provision. Overall, Credicorp's average daily balances of loans expanded 1.7% Q-over-Q and 14.3% year-over-year. Loan growth came mainly from our local currency loan book that grew 3.3% Q-over-Q and 29.1% year-over-year, while the foreign currency loan book contracted 3.1% Q-over-Q and 12.7% year-over-year. The loan expansion was led mainly by low-margin business segments such as corporate banking and mortgage loans, which put downward pressure on our NIM. In the case of the SME business loan book, the expansion is due to a positive impact of a resegmentation process conducted in the first quarter of this year, which in net terms represented approximately an additional 490 soles in loans. Therefore, the high volume is not related to a higher level of debt in our clients. Finally, Mibanco continued posting loan expansion after the construction registered since March 2014 until August 2015. Next slide, please. The peculiarities of the loan expansion that we reviewed in the previous page are reflected in the de-dollarization of Credicorp's loan book, which continued during this last quarter. As of March 2016, the dollarization of Credicorp's loan book was 39.7% and that of BCP standalone was 36.8%. The latter was far below the 46.2% of the first quarter of 2015 and even lower than the 38.1% of the last quarter of 2015. Overall, the loan books most exposed to foreign exchange risk have continued de-dollarizing. As you can see in the chart at the bottom on the right-hand side, the level of foreign exchange risk on credit risk has remained at the level it was in the fourth quarter of last year. Next page, please. As we mentioned before, we have focused our risk management and commercial efforts over improving the quality of a risk in the portfolio. This decision implies, first, a reduction in margins of each business segment according to a lower level of risk of clients, which in turn increases the downward pressure on NIM in a scenario of increasing funding costs. Second, a slowdown in loan expansion, in particular in the business segments that face delinquency problems. Third, a positive impact on cost of risk, which in turn helps minimize the decrease of NIM after provisions. All the aforementioned explains the evolution of net interest income as you can see in the table at the top of this page. Interest income has fallen slightly Q-over-Q, but has expanded year-over-year. The reduction is mainly the effect of higher loan expansion in low-margin business segments and a decrease in income from forward, which was significant throughout the previous year. On the other hand, interest expenses continue going up, as we will explain in the next slide. In this context, our focus on risk quality is reflected in the lower cost of risk that allowed us to attenuate the decrease in NIM after provision. As you can see in the chart at the bottom of this page, NIM contracted 22 bps quarter over quarter and 40 bps year over year. But NIM after provisions only fell 5 bps Q over Q and 3 bps year over year. Hence, net interest income after provisions expanded 1.4% Q over Q and 16.4% year over year. Next page, please. In this page, you can see Credicorp's funding structure and some important indicators related to it. It is important to mention, first, funding costs, which continued increasing but at a slower pace. The increase is mainly explained by the higher average cost of central bank funding due to banks and deposits. Second, the low currency mismatch between assets and liability, which is approximately 0.9%. Third, the overall loan-to-deposit ratio continued decreasing and reached the level of 98.6%. Nevertheless, the analysis by currency of this ratio shows a slight increase expected in the local currency loan-to-deposit ratio after the seasonality of local currency deposits in the fourth quarter. Next page, please. In terms of risk quality of the portfolio, the cost of risk fell to 1.98%, which was considerably lower than the 2.23% reported in the fourth quarter of last year, and better yet, the 2.46% reported in the first quarter of 2015. This was due to low growth in gross provisions and a higher level of reversals at Mibanco, both of which were associated with an improvement in the quality of vintages, mainly at Mibanco and in the SME business segment, as well as to the improvement in the wholesale banking portfolio. Next page, please. The traditional ratios for portfolio quality revealed an increase due to the distortion generated by high levels of real estate collateral that we have explained in detail in previous calls. Therefore, the link between these ratios and the cost of risk has been broken, and thus the ratios do not reflect the improvement in the risk quality of the new vintages for some business sectors in retail banking, such as SME business, SME PYME, and mortgage. Wholesale banking and BCP Bolivia's internal overdue ratio do show the real performance in terms of risk in each portfolio. As such, you can see that wholesale banking's internal overdue ratio fell 4 bps Q over Q, reaching 0.28%. Due to a contraction in the internal overdue loan portfolio and growth in the loan book. Second, BCP Bolivia reported deterioration in the internal overdue ratio, which increased 21 bps Q over Q. This was attributable to the fact that growth in internal overdue loans was higher than that of loans. The former is explained mainly by the deterioration of the SME business and mortgage portfolio. It is important to highlight that the adjusted NPL ratio, the most stringent delinquency ratio, shows a more stable level. Let's review the risk performance of the rest of our business segments in the next pages. Next page, please. In the chart at the top, you can see the evolution of the SME business internal overdue and NPL ratio, which increased due to the deterioration of few clients that have a high level of debt. Nevertheless, these clients have a high level of real estate collateral, as it is also the case of the total portfolio that registered approximately 73% of collateral as percentage of total loans. This factor allows keeping a relatively low cost of risk. The chart at the bottom of the page shows the evolution of the risk quality of the SME business new clients. We have defined a strategy to continue expanding this business because of our profitability objective. The chart shows, first, the high participation in total loans of low-risk loans, which was 54% on average in the first quarter of this year, a higher level than the 45% posted a year ago. Second, medium-risk loans account for 32% of total loans in the first quarter of 2016, which is slightly lower than the 33% in the first quarter of 2015. And third, high-risk loans continue contracting and will keep that trend in line with our strategy. Overall, the level of delinquency ratios is well within our risk appetite, and most important, the business continues delivering good profitability. Next page, please. As you know, in the case of SME PYME, the early delinquency ratio is the most adequate to analyze the risk performance of new vintage. In this case, the year-over-year analysis is most adequate because of the seasonality that characterizes this business. At the beginning of the second half of 2014, early delinquency started a year-over-year downward trend due to the adjustments made in the business model. The first quarter of this year, this ratio showed a slight increase of 3 bps year-over-year, which is nothing that concerns. Furthermore, cost of risk decreased 96 bps year-over-year, which represents the minimum historic level reported in the last 2 years. Finally, in the chart at the bottom of the page, you can also see that we have managed to eliminate the risk that is not in line with our appetite, which represented approximately 40% of total loans in January 2013 using the current risk model. Currently, our admission risks do not accept that type of risk, as you can see, in September 2015. Next page. The mortgage continued to show an increase in delinquency ratio, but was still within the risk capital. The year-over-year deterioration was mainly attributable to the Mi Vivienda loan portfolio. This trend has started to slow down. In terms of cost of risk, it fell 16 bps Q-over-Q after a reversal of provisions due to an operating error in the fourth quarter of last year. The year-over-year evolution shows an increase of 18 bps in the cost of risk, which is due to, first, the slight deterioration in vintages of foreign currency mortgages, which was dispersed mainly in 2012 and 2013. And second, some clients that hold other credit card products experience difficulties in their debt service capacity with our entities, and as such, our provisioning took a hit according to incurred loss in turn of mode. Next page, please. In the case of credit cards, the chart at the top shows the early delinquency has increased for the second consecutive quarter, and this is the effect of the strong slowdown of internal demand and private consumption, and to an increase in unemployment. The negative impact of the economy performance has been worse at our competitors. This has forced us to set aside higher provisions even when the clients are performing well with us because of incurred loss in turnover models, with continued deterioration in our source. Nevertheless, our strategy focused on better risk quality has allowed us to keep delinquency under control, and most importantly, within our risk and profitability targets. As you can see in the chart at the bottom, at the end of March, 80% of new vintages have low risk ratings, a much higher level than the 65% at the end of March 2014. Next page, please. On this page, we see the evolution of risk indicators for consumer loans. In the chart at the top, you can see that even when early delinquency and internal overdue ratios hold relatively low levels of cost of risk, it's high and has increased. The macroeconomic factors that we explained for credit cards have also affected business. This is definitely a business segment that we continue to focus on, and in the second quarter of this year, we will implement new risk models for admission that should show better results in the coming months. Next page, please. At Mibanco, you can see that the improvement in delinquency ratios continues. The internal overdue loan ratio fell 132 bps year over year. This was primarily due to a contraction in internal overdue loans, which was attributable to better risk quality in origination and to charge-off. As a result, the cost of risk also fell 109 bps QoQ. This was due to the fact that virtually no growth was posted in gross provisions for loan losses and to an increase in reversals of provisions. Both of these aspects were attributable to an improvement in the risk quality of new vintages. Next page. Non-financial income fell 3.3% QoQ. This was due mainly to, first, the drop in banking fee income, which is impacted by the seasonality of the second half in each year, in which the transactional business is more dynamic. Second, the contraction of gains on foreign exchange transactions. This was due mainly to lower gains on foreign exchange transactions at BCP standalone, which was attributable to a decrease in volume and to losses on currency trading. It is important to mention that gains on investments in subsidiaries, which register a result of the agreement with America, posted a slight increase year-over-year, although it contracted year-over-year. Next page, please. The insurance underwriting result fell 11.5% QoQ. This was due mainly to an increase in the acquisition cost in the property and casualty line, and in life insurance due to a decrease in underwriting income after profit sharing in the fourth quarter of last year. Nevertheless, net earned premiums increased this quarter in both the P&C and life lines, while the loss ratio for the P&C business dropped. In the year-over-year analysis, the underwriting result increased 23.6%, which was due primarily to growth in the net earned premiums, mainly in the property and casualty business. Next page, please. In terms of operating efficiency, the efficiency ratio improved 220 bps QoQ due to a significant reduction in operating expenses that offset the slight decrease in operating income. The former reflects the lower level of administrative and general expenses in BCP standalone due to the seasonality that they have in every fourth quarter. Year over year, the efficiency ratio grew 40 bps. Due to higher salaries and employee benefits, which reflects mainly the effects of business expansion on variable remuneration, and in a lesser extent, the slight deterioration in the efficiency of some subsidiaries of Credicorp, with the exception of BCP standalone, Mibanco, and BCP Bolivia. It is important to highlight the year-over-year evolution at BCP standalone, which shows an improvement in this ratio of 60 basis points, which was above our expectations. Next page, please. In terms of capital ratios, the decrease of the common equity Tier 1 ratio is due to a seasonality caused by the dividend announcement made in February, but income generation during the rest of the year will allow us to reach our target of 10% at the BCP standalone level by year-end. Next page, please. Finally, in the chart of this page, you can see a contribution of all subsidiaries as well as their ROEs. Overall, Credicorp posted a 19.4 ROE and a recurring ROAE of 20.2% in the first quarter of this year, which is in line with our target for the full year. With these comments, I would like to open the Q&A session, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And our first question will come from Philip Finch from UBS.
Good morning, Fernando. Thank you for the presentation. I've got a couple of questions, please. First, regarding your local currency loans-to-deposit ratio, which still remains elevated. In your opinion, what needs to happen for this to peak and come down? And when are you looking for this ratio to peak? Is it soon, or is it going to remain elevated for a while? And the second question is regarding your asset quality. Sort of mixed picture in the first quarter. Your NPLs overdue ratios were going up, but clearly cost of risk is coming down. Going forward, what are you expecting in terms of trends, especially in terms of cost of risk? You've been guiding previously for 2.1 to 2.2%. Q1 was well below that. What should we assume going forward? Thank you, Fernando.
Hello, Philip. There are two questions. First, the one regarding local currency loan-to-deposit ratios. What we feel is, as you know, we need a stabilization of the exchange rate to begin unwinding this process of the loan-to-deposit ratio. As you know, in combined terms, we are doing fine. We are around 100%. But yes, the one in soles is higher than what we would like. Fortunately, the exchange rate has begun to stabilize. It reached 3.52 like 30 days ago, and now it is around 3.33. So it is stabilizing, and it will probably continue to stabilize, depending on what happens with the Fed, especially, and the rate in the States, and the reference rate in the States. We have now begun to see some deposits coming from dollars into soles, especially one from institutional entities and some of the large investors, which get better results in our currency than in dollars. So that should begin unwinding, but very gradually, actually. So we plan to, go downwards, but gradually during the next quarters. In terms of asset quality, yes, the cost of risk, our target is around 2 to 2.20%, and yes, we are a little below that, which is good. We continue to think that we will be in the range of 2 to 2.2. But you have to take into consideration that, as we have discussed many times before, we are now focusing on better risk of our portfolio. And we've taken already important decisions in terms of what we will do in the consumer and SME segments. And we are continue developing our tools in all the risk area, not only models of admission and behavioral scores, but also in the collections phase of it. So those results are beginning to show, and that's what you see in the cost of risk. The NPLs has another explanation, and we have already talked about that. And the main explanation is that we have still an important array of loans, especially in mortgage and in the SME segment, that have collateral in real estate. And to go and try to collect that collateral, you have to go to the judiciary process, and that takes a while, and that can take 3 to 4 years. So we continue to accumulate some of that debt, which is mainly already charged off, but it is still in our books. Regarding that, we would like you to consider focusing more on the short term, the 60 to 100% delinquency, to 150% delinquency ratios.
Thank you, Fernando. Very helpful.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Thiago Bautista from Itaú BBA.
Fernando, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one about the efficiency ratio. You posted, or Cascade posted a very strong performance in cost control this quarter. My question is, how much more your efficiency ratio could improve? Is it feasible to see this ratio around 40% level in the end of the year? And my second question is just a follow-up of your comment on the capital. You said that you believe that the bank will achieve the 10% core capital at the end of the year. How much are you assuming in terms of loan growth in this calculation?
I didn't get the first ratio that you want to talk about. I know that you want to understand how we improve, but I need to get the ratio.
Is the efficiency ratio that achieved 42%?
Okay, great. I got it. In terms of the efficiency ratio, as you know, Credit Corp is around the 42% neighborhood. BCP, which is an important cost for that ratio, is around the 41% neighborhood as a target. However, this first quarter, we've reached the 39% neighborhood. What we feel is that we have already gone a long way in terms of that ratio. We, as you know, 3 years ago, we were around the low 50s. And yes, in BCP, we are around 39. That should be a great ratio if we reach that ratio at the end of the year. However, we feel that we will be more close to, say, 41, 40%, which will let Credit Corp be around 42, maybe a little less than that, but not much less than that. There are still broad projects in this area, especially not the low-hanging fruit projects, but more important projects, especially in terms of IT, some automation, and things that we need to still work with. So yes, we can go a little lower, but not a lot. Then, in terms of capital, and another thing here, we need to work a little bit more with the subsidiaries in terms of efficiency. There is some room for improvement there, not on BCP. In terms of capital, we have to refer now to the BCP standalone company. Yes, we were around 9.3, 9.4 before declaring our dividend. After declaring our dividends, we went down to 8.8%. And now, what will happen till the end of the year? First, as you know, we will end up with a transaction related to BCP Bolivia. We will sell BCP Bolivia from BCP Peru onto a Credit Corp subsidiary, which is Grupo Crédito. First is a holding company in Bolivia, and then Grupo Crédito, which is an internal arrangement, really, but that will bring BCP's common equity tier 1 ratio up to 9.3%. And then we feel that we can reach this with internal sources, because our ROE at the BCP level continues to be around 24%, and we are growing our loan book by, say, 13-14%. So that should happen during this last 8 months of the year.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the answers.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking questions, Fernando. My first question is related about your general thoughts of the implications of this better outlook for Peru. You mentioned that macroeconomic indicators are looking better now. And if I remember correctly, in the past, you had guided for loan growth around 13 to 15% as a safe pace under 3% GDP growth. So is there any upside now that things are looking better for 2016 and 2017? And what would be the implications for that in terms of your loan growth strategy, maybe being a little bit more confident, a high risk appetite for retail loans? That's my first question. And my second question is regarding Mi Banco, where we see a significant increase in the net income contribution to the group. I believe you had mentioned a guidance for the ROE in the low 20s in the past by 2017 and 2018, but this quarter we're already at 22.5. So is the turnaround happening faster there? Are you being a little bit more optimistic now? That would be my second question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. First, regarding a better outlook, you probably know better that things are developing better than we thought here in Peru. I would say that the especially in terms of investment, I mean, investment, especially private, which is much more productive than public investment, was in a way contained, waiting for good news. And what we've been gathering from our clients, from people in general, from the business community, is that that investment will begin to flow. We are not talking right now of the great infrastructure or the great mining projects that should probably come, but mainly from projects that people and companies have, you know, buying a new asset, developing a new line of production, those type of projects that should be coming into the economy pretty soon. What is our outlook in regards to that? We continue to think that we thought that loan growth could be around, say, 12-14%, it will be in the higher part of that range, maybe 14, maybe even 15. We still need to see who is the president, although the two candidates are very good. We still need to see who wins the election for companies to, I mean, continue investing for employment, to continue improving, for welfare to begin coming back into families and the economy in general. Then, in terms of risk appetite, as you know, for many years we've been trying to expand really what we do in terms of risk. We've learned our lessons. We feel pretty comfortable of where we are. We still need to develop all our risk platform in terms of what I mentioned in my prior answer, meaning all our models, what we need to do in collections. But yes, the emerging segments of the economy should continue coming up, as they did for many years, until the last 2 years maybe. So if those parts of the economy, those emerging segments, continue to become part of the market economy, yes, we will definitely target them with a much better experience that we have now in the risk part of our business. Then Mi Banco. As you know, Mi Banco's merger, I mean, the former Mi Banco and Edificars merger only took place in March last year, so it's only a year ago. Then Mi Banco's portfolio began growing around September, and the campaign at the end of the year, the campaign in sales campaign is the best campaign, and you know, though the results we are getting is what we are getting because of that campaign, we feel that yes, we have begun to understand risk better, that we are beginning to grow in terms of loans, and you see the ROE. Yes, the ROE is 22. Our target is still around 20 for this year, and we'll see what happens in this coming month. But yes, I can say with some optimism that the new Mi Banco begins to be a success story.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Fernando, and thanks for taking questions. My first question is related to the net interest margin. I'm aware that the quarter was affected by the expansion in low credit margin segments, such as wholesale and mortgages. Secondly, by the lower interest rates by improving the risk profile. And lastly, by the increase in the cost of funding. So my question is what to expect for the trends in net interest margin, considering better lending dynamics in high margin segments such as Mi Banco and SME PYMEs for the second half of the year, but also an upward trend in cost of funding rates. I believe it will be interesting to contrast the upward trends in the cost of funding, but now with a limited currency mismatch and a more stable BCRP funding. Thanks, and then I will elaborate on my second question.
Thank you. What will happen to net interest margin? What I can say is that, yes, there has been some pressure on margins, basically because the loan portfolios of the different institutions in the market were growing slowly than before. And yes, there was more competition for the good clients. What we did is what all the other competitors did, which is very good in terms of what happens to the health of the financial system. But what we feel now is that if the portfolios begin to grow faster, there could be some easing of this competitive process, and we would be able to, you know, reprice faster the asset side, the loan side of our balance sheet. That on the loan side of our balance sheet. Then on cost of funds, as you know, first we can talk about soles, and in soles, the reference rate went up already 100 basis points from 325 to 425. That happened during the last 8 months. Fortunately, it seems that our exchange rate is stabilizing a little bit, and we've seen the local central bank during the last two meetings maintain that rate flat. And we feel that it will probably stay flat for a while, especially if there is no pressure on the exchange rate, which is happening now. Then what will happen to the dollar rate? You probably know better than we, but what we feel is that it will be a very gradual increase if it happens at all this year. We've seen today the number of payrolls, and it's still very weak. So for us, we will have less pressure on cost of funding in both currencies over the coming months.
Okay, great. Thank you. Another couple of questions. On my second question is more related to the potential downgrade of Peru to frontier market. I believe the final decision will happen at the end of the month. So can you provide us some color on what to expect on this regard? And finally, your presidential elections are also around the corner. I think it will be interesting if you can highlight or share with us some of the best candidate initiatives to promote infrastructure projects or specific reforms. I don't know if you have analyzed the potential benefits that could be translated into GDP growth. We have seen that you have increased your GDP growth to 3.7% from 3.2 previously, but how much of the GDP improvement is considering infrastructure projects or reforms? Thank you.
Two questions. First, the one on MSCI. What we know, as you know, MSCI requires three companies to be above their limits to have the country as part of the emerging world. There are definitely two companies that are above those limits, which are Credicorp and Buenaventura. And there is this third company, Southern Copper, that is definitely above those limits, but there was a question in regard of should it be part of RU or should it be part of the U.S. Index. What we gather is that this company has already sent a letter to MSCI telling them that they want to remain part of the Peruvian Index. And what we know is that during May, the MSCI will define if Southern Copper stays as part of the index. And then comes the second question, which will be answered in June, which is if Peru will be still part of the emerging index, emerging countries index, or if it becomes part of the frontier index. We feel, I mean, when we talk to people that understand what is going on, they tell us that the odds are becoming better and better, especially because during the last, say, 60 days, there has been a much better feeling towards emerging economies, not only Peru, and because things are developing better politically and economically in Peru. But we don't have the answer. We'll have to wait for another 40 days. Then, presidential elections. What we know from the plans of each candidate is that they already have very comprehensive programs in terms of reforms that need to be made and in terms of a package of projects that they want to implement during the first 100 days, which is very good. They are very focused. They will direct efforts very early in their mandate. So we are really hopeful on what could any of those could do. Yes, Peru is under construction, I would say, so we need all those infrastructure projects, highways, ports, airports, you name it. So they should be implemented fast, as well as the reforms that I mentioned before. If you ask me if that is going to, in a way, influence the growth of this year, I don't think so, because the change in the administration will only take place at the end of July, and that is still, and then after that you only have some months coming. But what I can tell you is that the sentiment of the business community and of individuals in the streets now is that Peru will go better. So that is already, in a way, affecting positively what will happen in Peru. And that's why, not because of that, only of that, but because of some, especially mining projects that are coming into full production this year, that we feel that GDP growth should pick up and not be only 3.2, but rather 3.7.
Thanks, Fernando. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jason Moline from Scotiabank.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions. My first is related to your net foreign currency position. Can you tell us what that was at the end of the quarter and how Credicorp and how your if you believe that that could change over time or if you're going to maintain that position? And my second question is related to your funding costs. Particularly, you show very good detail on the average cost based on your funding structure. Can you talk a little bit about the cost of the BCRP instruments? We've seen the average cost go up, but can you compare that to the marginal cost, what we're seeing now?
Hello, Jason. Two questions. First is, what will happen towards our net foreign currency position? It has, decisions have already been taken in regard to that. As you know, for many months now, beginning at the middle of 2013 until February this year, we had a depreciation, a constant depreciation of our currency. And that's why we wanted to have that foreign currency position, that we call it structural foreign currency position, which was around $200 million. We took advantage of that, but then now we feel that things are stabilizing in terms of currency exchange rates, and now we have decided that we won't have that in the coming months. We have decided that we will actually continue to take positions, foreign exchange positions in dollars, but should be not only, you know, having a stable one, but rather looking at what should be the position day by day with our treasury traders actually working with it very actively. Second, regarding to funding costs and BCRP, as you know, those reports from the central bank are in reality long term, 2, 3, 4 years, they continue to be there. What is happening now to the rates of the central bank? The central bank continues to provide liquidity in soles. We have, as you know, ample liquidity in dollars, which we exchange for the soles. Those rates are still very attractive, and we are taking them. We don't see any important change in this rate. The central bank is very aware that we need the soles and that the economy needs the financial system to continue providing that liquidity in soles for it to continue advancing. So we are, as usual, working very constructively with the central bank in this term and see no special change coming in the coming months.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jordan Himelwitz from Philadelphia Financial.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my question. You mentioned in the release that there were some accelerated recoveries in the quarter. Can you disclose how much those were?
Extraordinary. Can you repeat? Recoveries?
It says in page 21, it says, recoveries at BCP standalone were accelerated. Can you say how much those recoveries were?
Well, yeah, thank you, Jordan. As you know, we have talked to you in the last conference calls that we have been upbringing, really improving our collections department, our collections people, and you know, yes, we have had some special recoveries during this quarter. Nothing really dramatic, but we feel that we should continue beefing up those people, that team, and should continue having these recoveries. But nothing special at the BCP level. However, in Mibanco, which is a subsidiary we've been talking about during this call, there have been some special recoveries, yes, because some of their clients have begun improving their balance sheets, and we have been able to take advantage of that, reverse some provisions, and take advantage of that. Nothing really dramatic, maybe just the pace of business.
Okay. And then you also said the cost of risk will be between 2 and 2.2 going forward. So would it be fair to say that your provision this time of 453 million soles is probably, you know, about 10% higher or closer to 500 million going forward for our models? 500,000?
I don't want to talk about exact numbers. What I would say, as we usually say as a guidance, is that we will be between 2 and 2.2.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC.
Thank you. Two questions. The first one refers to your subsidiary in the U.S., Atlantic Security. It had a loss this quarter. We wonder if you could give us some more details about what exactly happened and what's the reason for it. The second refers to your capital position. You are confident you will reach the 10% level by the end of the year. We don't know that. What is the plan beyond that? Do you want to go to a higher level, like 11-12% that we see at European institutions, or would you immediately start thinking about increasing dividends or perhaps acquisitions? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. First, in terms of Atlantic Security Bank, what we have in Atlantic is, as you know, we center there all our private banking effort with our clients. And as you know, we have a group of deposits and some loans also, but loans are only half of the deposits we have. So we have some excess liquidity in a way, and what we do with that liquidity is we have a portfolio of securities, a very balanced portfolio, and actually very low risk portfolio of securities of around $800 million. What we do with that portfolio is we give the management of it to different entities, you know, the ones you probably know already, the JP Morgans and the Wellingtons and these kind of entities. And as you also know, January and February were really very challenging months in terms of the market. And we made some losses in those months. However, what I can tell you is that March was a better month, and I can tell you that April has been also good in terms of Atlantic. So, yes, it was a dip that we had that during that quarter. We feel that Atlantic should reach levels of the levels it had in the past in terms of net income.
Okay, so if I may clarify there. So we can certify that this is let's call it a trading loss or a loss in the valuation of your securities. It is not expenses, it is not provision, it is not bad loans.
No, it's not bad loans. It is really the portfolio we have in securities.
Thank you.
Yes. Then in terms of our capital position, we plan to reach that 10% at the end of the year. What we have decided beyond that is that we want to reach 10% at the dip of the year, which is after dividends. So we will go a little further up, and we'll probably reach around 10.3, 10.4, to be around 10% in March. And then we'll probably stay in those levels. We don't feel that we will reach the 11 or 12% levels that European banks have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anibal Valdez from Barclays.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just have a technical question on the FX. Currency swaps. So in the event that you see a normalization in the funding in soles, let's say that people start turning their savings in dollars into soles, so liquidity starts to normalize, how easily would it be for you guys to undo the currency swaps with the central bank? Are they pretty flexible about it? Are there any penalties? How would that work? So, because I would assume that you would like to use the funding, you would use like to use cheaper deposits than these cross currency swaps. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. What I can tell you is that this process of unwinding of this situation will be a very gradual one. So, what we think will happen is that these swaps from the central bank will begin to expire, and we will let them expire. We don't think that we will go to them and try to unwind them before expiration, because deposits in our local currency will come, but they won't come from one day to the other. They will come really gradually, and that gradual process will let us unwind the other process side by side. So we see something very smooth happening rather than abrupt.
Okay, thank you. But I just want to confirm that there would not be any penalties, and your sense is that the central bank would be flexible about it, right?
Yes, they are. As you know, they are pretty aware of what is happening in the whole in the whole financial system. That same situation that we have is what other competitors have, and they are pretty close to us, and they will. They will also want this process of unwind to go very smoothly and slowly and gradually. Yes.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Volve Vega from Integra.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I would like to know about the use of the corporate loans. I mean, those loans are growing at 20%, while private investment is negative or flat, and GDP excluding primary sector is around 3%. So what are financing these loans, and how concentrated are they?
Excuse me, can you repeat your question because it wasn't clear?
Yeah, no, I mean, what I would like to know is the use of the corporate loans. I mean, what are financing these loans? I mean, what is the use of the loans? Because they are growing at 20%, but the economy is growing at 3%. I mean.
Yes. Two things. First is that last year, as you know, there was a de-dollarization process of loans, especially corporate loans. And what happened really is that some of these large companies had been borrowing from banks abroad in dollars. And what they wanted is to turn those dollars into soles, so they had to come to local institutions. And as you know, in the corporate segment, we have a very strong position, around 45%. So many of those loans from banks abroad came into local banks, and a large proportion of them came into BCP. So we had a special growth compared to the actual one we should have. That happened. And now that's probably most of the way done. And this year, I don't think that we will grow the same 20% as we did last year, 18-20%. It will be less than that. Then if you ask me, where are those loans going? You know, having 45% of the market, I will have to tell you that they go, you know, into many diversified segments, mining, manufacturing, commerce, you name it. We have clients in every industry in this country. We have really no concentration in loans or in any specific client. We actually direct those loans everywhere. And definitely with the experience we have, we know we've been working with these clients and know these corporate clients for many years.
Thank you. And it's probable that the de-dollarization process that you mentioned is going to finish soon. Do you think that an increase in private investment at the end of the year of the next year is going to offset this process, and we can expect that corporate loans should be growing at this rate?
What I feel is that it really depends more on the exchange rate rather than on an increase in investment or in foreign investment. It will depend on the exchange rate, what the treasurers of these companies do is they actually try to see in which currency should they be all the time. And if the currency remains stable, my feeling is that they will tend to continue in the way they are now in soles, in their loan portfolios, in their borrowing, but we'll see. But then you had another question, which is, what happens if foreign investment or large investment come to a country faster? What we do actually with those investments is most of those investments, the large projects, come with their own financing. However, we work with them, especially in the working capital and necessities, rather than in the big chunks of financing they bring, because sometimes they are even too large for us. So we don't see any special change happening in the proportion of loans, both local and foreign currency loans, in this particular segment.
Okay, thank you. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time.
Yeah, I have a thank you all for your questions. They were very interesting and let us explain what is happening in further detail. I would like to just finish with some final remarks, summarized. What I can say is that the macro is doing okay, especially locally. We don't know exactly what's going to happen abroad, but locally there are some very important signs of improvement in the sentiment and in what should happen in the next 5 years. What we will do is this year is at the BCP level is really stick to the basics, to the business as usual, continue working in risk, which is a top priority in our agenda, in all the fronts of risk, as we have already talked about. We will continue working in efficiency at the BCP level. There are still some room, there's still some room for improvement, for automation, in IT, and in some other specific parts of the company. And why, not grow faster? That will definitely depend on our risk appetite and on how the economy continue to develop. Then Mibanco, as we talked, we are still under the stabilization process after the merger. There are still things to be done in terms of that particular project. But yes, growth has begun to show, and it should continue showing if we continue to understand risk and continue to feel confident with the risk levels that we take. In terms of Credicorp Capital, our investment bank in Chile, Peru, and Colombia, we feel that the markets in these particular three Andean countries are doing better. We see that the pipeline of projects and that the pipeline of possibilities is improving. And we should definitely try to take advantage of that. Then if we talk about Prima and Pacifico Vida, our pension fund, well, yes, there has been a change in the law, on the pension fund law, and we are trying to rapidly adjust to that and take advantage of that as a Credicorp entity, because many of our clients now, instead of getting a pension when they become 65, will get, if they want, the whole amount of what they saved, and we will definitely participate in that event of liquidity with all the tools and with all the companies that we have around them. Bolivia continues surprising us with better results than budget. We should continue. We'll try to continue going in that trend. In the overall view, I would say that we feel more optimistic than we felt 3 months ago, and we should, as said, continue sticking to our basics in our financial business. Thank you all, and until next conference call in 3 months.